we left off at the bottom of the Aleph on the bed with regards to a putuki. So here we are said that Dama Rava Asu Abdo a putuki makro makaro balkov gobo imenu show a putuki makaro in balkov gobo imenu. So that there was a difference between whether you made directly collateral with regards to an eved, right, a slave. There, a balkov, there a debt, a creditor could come along and take it because it was directly collateral on an eved. Whereas if he made a shoro, if he made his ox directly collateral towards a loan, makaro, and then sold it out, then a creditor can't go and move it from the buyer. So the buyer is protected when it comes to a shor, but he's not protected when it comes to an eved. Gemara says, my time. What's the difference between a shor and an eved? Ha'id lekala, ha'ved lekala. Difference has to do with whether there's a kol or not a kol. An eved is a kol, so that the obligation on the buyer to know that there was a lien there, or there exists an obligation on the buyer to know that there's a lien there, and when he doesn't, and when he buys it, then he's at risk that the creditor will come take it away from him. On a shor, there's no way that we could obligate him to know, or there's no way he could know that there was a lien on the shor, and therefore the creditor can't come and remove it from the buyer. Where it says the butter to nafak. So this was an interchange that happened between Rav Nachman and Ula. Right? So Rav Nachman had made a statement, we saw before, the Amar Ula Amar Rav Elazar, the law is that you can be govet, you can take away, creditors can come and take away the abadim. And Rav Nachman said to Ula, right, Amar Rav Elazar filu miyatme, it was even from yatme. He says, no, afilu, right, so then he said, well, what do you mean? Afilu miyatme? And then he explained that it's different, right? Akamaiskina shoso aputuki to the rubble. That was the difference that we said. And then, the butta to nafak, after he went out, right? Amr lahu, Ula. So after Rav Nachman left, after he gave this answer to Rav Nachman, Ula says to the people that are still remaining, hafama Rav Elazar afilu miyatme. That Rav Elazar says, even, so before, when Rav Nachman asked Ula the question about Yisomim, that when Rav Elazar made that statement that you're allowed to take a vadin, is that even from Yisomim? Ula said, no, that's not from Yisomim. That's from him. That's directly from the debtor. It says, if it's from the debtor, right, then what's the big deal? I mean, from the debtor, you can take anything. So he says, no, it has to do with being an aputuki, being a directed collateral, and the difference is in directed collateral. Then after Rav Nachman left, Ula goes and says, wait, you know what? Rav Elazar really said you can take it away from the Yisomim. Not only can you take it from him, but you can even take the Avadim from the Yisomim. Right? Ula was trying to get away from me. Nachman, he heard this, Ula disagreed, or Ula had changed his mind in front of the others. Not changed his mind, but he told them the truth. Rav Nachman says, you know, the reason that he didn't tell me, that answer is because he knows that I would disagree with it, and he was afraid that I would, catch him in the halacha, that I would be able to undermine his theory. So that's Ishmaten Ula. Have Ubda bin Ardo. It was a case in Narda, but Abu Dayani de Narda. Case in Narda, and the Dayanim of Narda claimed or allowed the creditors to take Avadim away from the Yisomim. Abu Ubda be Pumpadit. There was another case of Pumpadit, but Agbe Rav Hanan bar Bizna. And Rav Hanan bar Bizna also allowed the creditors to take away the Avadim from the Yisomim. Amalu Rav Nachman Zilu Adaru. He says, go give it back to them. I mean that he said both the Dayane Narda and the Rav Hanan bar Bizna, you guys have to return the Avadim to the Yisomim. The fact that you pass in the Lacha like Ula is incorrect, and you must give the Avadim back. The Ilo Magbina, if you don't return it, if you don't return it, I'm gonna go and take away either your houses or your hats, meaning that I'm gonna either remove you from your position or take away your own property to pay back these Yisomim. That's your paskin wrong, and it's so much to the extent that it's wrong, that it's ketoa b'dvar mishnah, and therefore you have to return that which you did wrong. Samarle Rava the Rav Nachman. Rava comes and says to Rav Nachman, how could you do this? Ha Ula, ha Rav Elazar, ha Daini Didanda, v'ha Rav Hanan bar Bizna. You have Ula, you have Rav Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, you have the Daina, the Darado, and Rav Hanan bar Bizna, that all paskin the same way. What are they all paskin? That you're allowed to take the Avadim away from the Yisomim. And here you are, the only guy who says otherwise. I mean, what are you so much on that it's... So he says, Markham on Svirle, who do you hold like that argues on all of these four opinions? I'm like, Ana, Anita Yazano. I know a brisa that supports me, the Tani Avimi, Pruzbol Chalalakaka. When it comes to Pruzbol, Pruzbol only works as we saw, right, in the Gemara to Gittin, right, a Pruzbol only has application in Karko, whereas, Enochal Alavadi does not work when it comes to Avadi. So why Pruzbol, why do you need Karka? Rashi says, in Gittin, right, it's because it's shchicha, right, it's common to have a karka, and therefore the Chachamim only attacking Pruzbol in cases that are common. Tosfos on the hand brings down the case from, it brings down the idea that why do we have to be karka? Because it's something that you can be gover, but closer to gover. That you can claim multiple times on a piece of karka, you could extract it, if he buys it back, you could extract it again. There's a possibility of getting to the full amount of the loan with even a small amount of karka. That's the reason we have to be on karka. But what do we see here? We see a differentiation between karka and avadim. That Pruzbol can be chal on karka, but avadim can't. Or Pruzbol can't be chal on avadim. Metzalkalim niknimim akarka. Veinim niknimim avadim. And metzalkalim can be acquired with land. Veinim niknimim avadim. But they are not acquired with avadim. So the Gemara says, what do you see from this? You see that avadim don't function like karka. Right, number one is a Pruzbol can't rent on them. And number two is you can't do a kinyan agav. Right, if something is karka, if you have real property, you're allowed to acquire real property, and along with that real property, you can be acquired the metalkalim. Yet over here, if you acquire the avadim, if you classify them as real property, you should have been able to acquire the metalkalim. But that's not the very sense. Right, it says, no, you cannot, right? You cannot acquire metalkalim along with the avadim, which shows that they don't have a din of karka. That's what Rav Nachman says, that's the support of my position, that these avadim are not like karka. And therefore, you can't be go for them from the somim, right? The only thing you can take from the somim is karka, something that has, right? That's something that is real property, something that is like kala. And these avodim are not classified in that category. Versus limikit tonight. Let's say this is a machlokas tanoim of Nachman's position versus Zula. Machar lo avadim be karkaot. He sold him both avadim and karkaot. Hechzi avadim lo natana karkaot. O karkaot lo kan avadim. If he takes a kinyan on the avadim, it doesn't bring the karka along with it. If he takes a kinyan on the karka, then the avadim don't come along with it. Alright, karka ot metalkalin. If he sold to him karka, real property, and metalkalin, movable property, hechzik be karka, kind of metalkalin. This is called kinyan agav. If he takes, acquires the land, then the metalkalin come along with it. Be metalkalin, lo kind of karka. But if he acquires metalkalin, alright, you can't acquire the land. That was the mission we had in Kiddushin. That a kinyan agav only works from nechassim that have achrayut. You can acquire nechassim she'en lehem achrayut. Right? Nechassim she'en lehem achrayut can acquire nechassim she'esh lehem achrayut. I mean that karka, real property, is able to acquire metalkalim, but metalkalim are not able to bring along karka with them. Avadim metalkalim, if you avadim metalkalim, hechzik b'avadim, lo kana metalkalim. If they acquire the avadim, then the metalkalim don't come along with it. But metalkalim lo kana avadim. If you acquire the metalkalim, then you don't acquire the avadim. Then we have an alternative brisa that says, Hechzik b'avadim, kana metalkalim. Right? If he acquires the avadim, then he takes along with it the metalkalim, which suggests that an avadim can do a kinyan agav. So according to the first brisa, avadim cannot acquire metalkalim. If you have a kinyan on avadim, you can't acquire metalkalim. And also, if you have a kinyan on karkaot, right, you can't make a kinyan on the avadim, and avadim and karkaot don't work either. So you see that the first brisa does not classify avadim as karkaot. If the second brisa suggests that if one acquires the avadim, that they could bring along with that metalkalim, which means suggests that they're classifying avadim as real property, like karka, and they're bringing the metalkalim along. And this would be the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Ula. Are avadim classified as real property like karka, and therefore you could be govim yitumim, or no, that the avadim are classified as metalkalim, and therefore you could not be govim them from the yisomim. So Mar says, my love, hakamifakeh, the master of our avadim came at karka, tell me. And one of them holds that avadim are like karka, like real property, and then we'll have all the properties of real property, which is that you can do a kinyan agav. That's the second price. So Mar says, avadim came at metalkalim. Then the first price that thinks that the avadim are metalkalim. If they're metalkalim, they can't function like real property, and you can't acquire anything with them. Now, there is...
The problem is that the metalkalim can be bought...
Excellent. Right, so as soon as I read the price, I thought exactly like you. That it's mimonavshach. The first brisa that doesn't treat them like karka and doesn't treat them like metalkalim. So the Gemara will later on get to that question. All right. So now, Amar Rav Yikav, Brei Rav Ami. The Kuli Alma, no. Avadim kimikarka edami. Everybody holds that avadim are like karka. Okay, takano shapir. So the second brace that makes sense now. If you think avadim are like karka, like real property, then the second brace that says you can do a kinyan adov, that's easy to explain. Vaditanya lokano. Oh, what about the first brace that says that it doesn't work? That if even though they're kimikarka, you can't use them. Why? Bina karka dumya da ari mitzurot viuda. The only way you can do a kinyan adov is if the real property is similar to fortified cities in Yehuda. The lonaibit, that don't move. Why? The time with the mission is not in Kiddushin together. You can do a kinyan adov. If you take real property, you can acquire along with it, right, other items, because of Shtarba Chazaka, right, other items, as long as you do a kinyan, a proper kinyan for the property. Minahani mile. Where do we know that from? If you remember the pasuk that we brought, right, in from Divrei Yom Tepuzis, Amar Chizki Amar Kavi Tain Lahem Abihem, their father gave them gifts, Matanot Rabot, the Kesef of the Zahav, Ulmigdanot, Im, with Ari Mitzurot Biuda. They gave them all these other items along with the fortified cities of Yehuda. Why did he give them along with the fortified cities of Yehuda? Because when they took possession of the cities, all the Metalkim also came along with them. So therefore, we learn Kinyan Akav from Arim Bitzurot Yehuda, fortified cities in Yehuda. If that's the case, then it's got to be, when we do a Kinyan Akav, real property can come into two flavors. You can have real property like Karka, right, which is Arim Bitzurot, that doesn't move around, stationary, is always there. That you can do a Kinyan Akav on. But it's also real property, like a Vadim, that, but move around. And when they move around, they're not good, or they don't qualify to be, or to do a Kinyan Akav on them. So they say the other way around. Everybody holds avadim are like metalkalim. Avadim have a din of, right, non-real property metalkalim. Then the first breakdown now makes sense, that you can't acquire the avadim along with the karka because there's no, they're not metalkalim. So you can't, I mean, they are metalkalim, and therefore you can't acquire land with other land with them. You can't acquire metalkalim with them. What about the second brace that says you can acquire with avadim metalkalim, suggests that they're karko? But odan alav, that's when the kalim are still with it. Meaning that if the Eved is walking around, he's got a jug on his shoulder and he's carrying it around. When you acquire the Eved, you get the jug along with them. Chi odan alav my hobby. Whoa, wait a minute. Just because the jug's on him, why does that help you? He is a chaser mihalekati. He is a walking chaser. Right, your chutzir, which is your courtyard, can acquire for you, even if you're not there. If it's a chutzir, hamishtamer. It's a chutzir that's guarded, somehow, not physically by you necessarily, but by a wall. Somehow, somebody throws something into your yard, it was hefker, and you want it, you acquire it automatically. So over here, you have a eved, who is the equivalent of being your courtyard, he's your property, and then you want it to acquire on your behalf. But we know, a chutzir me'alechet, any property that moves, cannot function in that way. Chutzir me'alechet lo'kana. Alright, you see, okay, when a chutzir is moving, it can't acquire. He was standing still. We have, if you're unable to make the acquisition while you're walking, then even when you stand still, it won't help you. And just because, it's not what your physical state right now is, it's a question of whether you have the ability to walk. If you have the ability to move around, then you're not a chutzir that can acquire. But if you don't have the ability to move around, then you can. And this eved has the ability to move around. And what do we always answer in these cases? The kapot, right? That they are tied up. The eved's tied up. If the eved's tied up, then he can't move. If he can't move, then he becomes like your chatzer. He becomes like your chatzer, then you acquire him a tachlin on agav, because now he becomes like your chatzer. So we have two possibilities of ikus explain the brisos. One explanation says that all the boy brisos believe that avadim are like karka. Avadim function exactly like karka, means that they're real property. Ah, so that explains why the second brisa says that you can acquire agav metalkalim and agav the avadim. But then what about the first brisa that says no? The first brisa says no. The only way you can have a kinyan agav, because the pasuk of Divrei Yamim says it has to be arim mitzurot yudah. Non-moving real property is what works with a kinyan agav. But moving real property, that doesn't work with a kinyan agav. That was the first explanation. The Igad Amri said no. Everybody agrees that avadim are like metalkalim, like movable property. If that's the case, we can understand the first brisa that says that you can't acquire metalkalim along with the eved. But the second brisa that says you can acquire them, why is that? So he says that it's a unique case. The second brisa is a unique case where the eved is tied up. Since the eved is tied up, he's functioning like your chatzer. When he's functioning like your chatzer, you can acquire things. He becomes like a chatzer mishtamer. Mar says, Pahatanya, don't we have a brisa? Hef sikwa karva kana vadim. that if he acquires the land, he also acquires the avadim, which suggests what? That these avadim are, right, these avadim are like metalkalim. If you take the karka, then you carry the avadim. Gemara says, hatam be'ogdim bitokha. That's when the avadim are sitting right in the, right in the field. It says, maklal, the hailo kona, shein ogdim bitokha. So you're suggesting that if the avadim are not in the field, then you would not acquire them. That makes sense according to the lashon that says, davar bika b'edavami, avdek metalkalay dami. Right, that makes sense according to the lashon of Rabbi Ami that says that avadim are like metalkalim. Therefore, if they're found in the property, you can acquire them, kinyan agav. If they're not found in the property, you can't do a kinyan agav. According to the first lashon, we said that avadim are equal to real property. Lamali omdim betoka. Why do the avadim have to be standing inside the property? Right? Ha, amar Shmuel, we saw as the kiddushin also. What? Mafalo eser sadot v'eser medinot. If he sells in 10 tracts of land, right, in 10 different, right, countries. As long as you make a kinyan on one piece of land, you acquire every other piece of land anywhere they are. So why not over here too? I mean, why does the eved have to be present on the karka? As long as you acquire the karka, no matter where else you have real property, all the real property comes along with it. So why should there be such a distinction? Or it says, wait a minute. Why do you think your answer for the other lishna is so nice? Or so good? What do we suggest? That if avadim are like metalkalin, it was easy to explain. Why is it easy to explain? Because if the avadim are on the land, you acquire it. If they're not on the land, you don't acquire it. Is that really true with kinyan agav? Right? The Gemara in Kedushin, if you remember, asked, do they have to be tzvurim or not? Do they have to be piled up in the land? And we said no. The conclusion was that they don't have to be physically on the land. If they don't physically have to be on the land, and you're working with kinyan agav and metalkalin, then why is it such a good answer for the one who says that avadim like metalkalin? It should work despite where they are. That's what Mar says. According to the one that says avadim like metalkalin, lami li ovid amlid metokha. Why do they have to be standing on the property? Hakaimelan delobin and tzvurin. We do not need them to be piled up to do a kinyan agav. You don't need the metalkalin to be physically present on the karka. You can have your karka in one place, and the kesef in itself in another place. You acquire the karka, you acquire the kesef itself. So too here. If the avadim are really like metalkalim, not real property, right, then you should be able to acquire them, no problem, whether they're there or not there. Elamais b'cholam eimar. How are you going to answer up? You're going to say, shiny metalkalim de naidi, metalkalim de lo naidi. Metalkalim that move are different than metalkalim that don't move. When metalkalim that move, right, then they are only acquired kinyan agav if they're present on the property. Whereas metalkalim that don't move, right, if they are present anywhere, or even if they're not present on the property, you can acquire them. So now, the Tosafot points out that this distinction is not simply a distinction of animate versus inanimate, but rather a distinction between bardas and lab bardas. For animals, we will say even though they are able to move around, they're animate, you could still acquire them kinyan agav whether they're on the property or not. Whereas above them, who are bardas, and they are naidi, those you can only acquire when they're present on the property. So I said, if you're going to make that distinction for the answer that says that avadim are like metalkalin, right, so if you're going to suggest, you can suggest the same thing by karka. There's a difference between karka that's stationary and karka that moves around. So you can't, when you have an eved, these are in the classification of karka that moves around. When you're talking about Ester Sadot, 10 different fields, the Gemara's condition explain why if you acquire one field, you acquire, right, all the other fields. It's Sadan Dahara Rachadu. The whole crust of the earth, the whole inhabited land of the earth is one unit. If it's one unit, you can acquire them. But you can't say that it's one unit when it comes to things that move around. They don't belong. The eved is not part of the karka. And therefore, you couldn't necessarily, right, acquire them. So based on this, right, you're going to have the two answers be, or the way we're going to explain, according to the two answers, is this. And this fee comes back to your question about the Braisa. How come, if they really are metalkalin, how come the karka can't acquire them? Right? And if they are karka, that first Braisa says that they could be a part of the other karka. We said mimonoshak, it should work one of the two ways. So this explains why it doesn't work either way. It doesn't work either way because above them are an exceptional case. They're an exceptional case whether you think they're metalkalin or whether you think they are of a karka. Because in both cases, they are distinct from either real metalkalim or they're distinct from real property because they move. Because they move, they actually have a different din. Now, let's go back and explain. According to one who says they are metalflin, according to one who says that avodim are equal to metalflin, non-real property. Then the Brisa says that you can do a kinyan agav, right? No problem. You do a kinyan agav because you have karka, right? And you have metalflin. Over there we said only if they're inside the karka. If they're inside the karka, it'll work, right? But when they're outside the karka, it won't work. And that explains the top Brisa, the first Brisa, who says that you can't do a kinyan agav with avadim, right? You can't do a kinyan agav. I mean, you can't have karka acquire avadim. It's because these avadim are metalim that move around. And therefore, you can't exercise a kinyan agav on these metalim that move around. According to the one who sets up, according to the Elishan that sets it up, that avadim are equal to real property. So that explains why the Brisa says you can do a kinyan agav. Why can you do a kinyan agav with them? Because they are real property. According to the one who said, the other Brisa says, well, we can't do a kinyan agav. Why? They're real property. You say, number one, they can't be the functioning, they can't be the black karka and acquire other things on them, because you need like arim b'tzirot to be yuda. You have to have things that don't move around, like fortified cities in yuda. If they are real karka, then why can't they be acquired along with other karka? I mean that real property, one piece of real property can acquire another piece of real property. That's where it draws the distinction between moving real property and stationary real property. If you have stationary real property, like all different land, seven to Arapagu. All of the earth is one unit. But when it comes to moving real property like avadim, they can't be considered one unit, and you will require a separate kinyan for the avadim versus the karka. Right, so that's the end of this morning. Now we go to the next line in the Mishnah. The next line in the Mishnah says that what is excluded from nizakin here is nefashim she'ein bahem mitla. Nefashim over here draws a distinction between dinim derabonan versus dinim deoraisa, which is that in dinim deoraisa, avadim are classified as karka, as real property, because they, like first instance, a shavua. You can't take a shavua on karka, right? And you can't take a shavua on metalkalim. And we know that you can't take a shavua, you cannot take a shavua on avadim. So it's clear that avadim are classified as real property when it comes to shavua. So Tosus tries to draw a distinction between all things that are dinei derabanan. We think that avadim are like metalkalim, or avadim are like movable property, and think dinim that are deoraisa, that are mina Torah, that will be classified as, right, classified as a metalkalim. They'll be classified as metalkalim, therefore you can't be gobe miyad. Now you say, okay, we have another brisa. We have another brisa that supports the position of, right, Rav Nachman. On the other hand, that doesn't matter much. So now you can say he has two brises versus one brisa. And the fact that we have a brisa that supports Rav Nachman is only tells us that there's a tana that supports the position of Rav Nachman. As long as we find an alternative tana that supports the position of Ula, then we know it's a machlokes tanaim. If it's a machlokes tanaim, then, right, that's fine. And then Ula could pass them like the other tana.
It's even funny that Moshak and Dazi Mach, right? How do I have this brisa?
Right.
Then
the Gemara
says, you know,
so let's
say it's
a focus tonight,
and it quotes two
completely different.
Why doesn't it? Why didn't you use that
brisa
or Nachman?
Right. Right. Well, I think they wanted to find something that addressed the exact same issue. And the two brises that come address the exact issue, so you know for sure they're arguing. In other brises, you can come up with ways to interpret the brisa. Oh, it doesn't here. This is a different category. But here, when they say the exact same qualification, you have to say they're arguing. I think that's why the Gemara went that way. Alright, now the Gemara moves on to the next line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you're not chayv nizokin when it comes to nechashim she'ein bahem mi'ila. So basically, we said in the Mishnah, it means that hekdesh. When you do nezek to hekdesh, right, then you can't, right, you don't pay. You don't pay for the nizokin. The question is, why did the Mishnah use a cryptic term called nechashim she'ein bahem mi'ila? Why don't you say nifsei hekdesh? It'd be a lot easier. That's what the Gemara wants to know. The Gemara says, well, it sounds from our Mishnah like mi'ilahu galed behu hamitka shkoche. And we're talking about something here that doesn't have mi'ila, but does have, is kodesh. I mean that the suggestion in our Mishnah is that if you were to simply rent the Mishnah, you would read it like this. If it's kodesh, no nizakin. If it's not kodesh, then you have nezek, that'd be easy to read it. The fact that the Mishnah went out of way to say, when are you chayv for nezek? When they don't have mi'ila. It says that you're chayv for nezek when they don't have mi'ila implies that even though they are kodesh, the fact that they don't have mi'ila already takes them out of the category, right, of Kodesh, and you're chayav for them. So the Gemara says, Mantana, who's the author of such a position? The Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Kochim Kalim, Aliva de Rabbi Yosef Gilir. Talking about Kochim Kalim, according to Rabbi Yosef Gilir, why? The Amar Momon Balim Hill. Rabbi Yosef Gilir believes that Shlomim, or Kochim Kalim, certain karbanot of Kochim Kalim, until the owners bring them as a karban on the Mizbeah, right? they are mama balan. The balan are, have achrayut. They're responsible for these animals. Because they're responsible for these animals, it's equivalent of being their money. If it's their money, right, then, for instance, if someone sure came along and damaged ishlamim of his friend, he will be obligated to pay for the nezek. So despite the fact that this, call it shlamim, is kodesh, nevertheless, it's nechasim she'ein lam mi'ila. There's no mi'ila here because it belongs to the balim. And therefore, you're going to be chayiv in the nezek that you do to it. The Tanya, how do we know this is true? It says, umala mal bashem. And this is not talking about mi'ila, it's rather talking about a shvat ha'pikadon. If someone takes a shvua and denies having ever had this pikadon. Somebody says, I gave you this item to watch, and he takes a shvua that it's not true. Right? So in that case, when he takes the shvua on the item, if he's found to be lying, right, he has to bring a karbon, plus he has to pay back, karen plus a chomesh, right? One and one fifth back to the owner. Right, says over here, mal mal bashem l'rabot, koshim kalim, shehim memono, divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Right, so we see that even included in shvuat ha-pikadon are koshim kalim. If someone had gave you a shlomim to watch, you take a shvuat that he never gave it to you, and then we find out you were lying, you will be chayav a korban, right, the korban for Olivior for the shvuat ha-pikadon, korban for the shvuat ha-pikadon, plus you will have to return him one and one fifth. And who's this according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says that it's mamon valentum? So that's the position, and he'll be the author of our Mishnah, who again says that Kodesh and Kalim are Mamon Balantim. So we can come up with a case, a plausible case, for something to be Kodesh, not Chayiv and Mi'ila, and therefore it'll be Mamon Balantim, and you'll be Chayiv if you do damage to it. And that's exactly this case of Kodesh and Kalim. But now, Par says, it's so clear that this is the position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Don't we have a Mishnah? Hamakadesh Bechelko, Ben Kodesh Kodoshim, Ben Kodesh and Kalim, Eina Mikudeshet. A Kohen who goes along and gives his portion, uses his portion in the Kodesh Kodashim, right, or in Kodesh Kalim, ain't a mikudeshet, right, then he's not married, and that would be true, right, that would also be true for the, Balan, right, meaning that they took their portion, quote unquote, portion in Kodesh Kalim, and they tried to marry him, and they wouldn't work. So wait, if it doesn't work, that sounds like it's not your mamon, right, if it was your mamon, you'd be able to use it for kidushin. So now we have one drive Mishnah that says what? That a person who uses Kalev, right, is unable to create Kiddushin. So let us say, Lema to Loko of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So that sounds like what? That Mishnah is clearly not like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Because Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Momo, right, and this Mishnah is saying, no Momo, then obviously this Mishnah argues on Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Right, says, no, I feel the tame of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We can even explain this Mishnah according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. How is that? Ki amar Rabbi Yossi Aglili Michayim. When does Rabbi Yossi Aglili say that it qualifies as Momo? That's when it's still alive. Aval akar shchita, after you shech the animal, afilu Rabbi Yossi Aglili mode. Then even Rabbi Yossi agrees, dechi kazoko mishulchan gavoa kazoko. When they're entitled to these matnos kehuna, or even the balim, who eat the meat from the kodeshim kalim, they are all getting this benefit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It really belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing them to eat that off of his table. So there'll be a distinction now for Rabbi Yossi Aglili between when the animal is alive, you have a Kodesh Kalim that's alive, that'll be qualified or classified as Mamon Balim, belonging to them Balim. And therefore you could be Mekadesh, a woman with that. If someone else damages the animal, they'll be Chayav, right, for it, because it's Nefas V'Shem Ami, you learn it's Mamon Balim, right? Whereas, after Shechita, that both the meat that goes to the balan and the meat that goes to Kohanim, the chelek goes to Kohanim, right, meat will not be classified as mamo. None of that will be classified as mamo. Therefore, if you're Mekadesh and Isha with this, it will fail. It won't work. Number two, I mean, damage anymore is not really so relevant. But what is relevant is that when you're eating it, it's not yours. You're eating it from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is gifting you that right to eat the Kodeshim Kalim, both the balan and the Kohanim. Wait a minute. Does Rabbi Yossi Aglili really believe when it's still alive, right, that it is Mamon? Right, so now, the problem with this question, the Gemara also pointed out, is, well, what's the alternative now? We know that Rabbi Yossi Aglili says it's Mamon sometime, right? So if you suggest that it's not Mamon when it's alive, then it's a kosher came when it's dead, it's not your Mamon. Right, so now, where's Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position anymore? He has no position. So Tosos narrows the question. It says, when the Gemara is asking over here, when it's alive, how do you know that matnos kahuna, their chelek, is that the Kohanim have in Shlamim, when it's alive, it's still classified as mamo? Right, so the way the Gemara answered over here, the difference between it being alive versus being dead, suggests that even for the Kohanim, when it's alive, it's classified as mamo bala. So the Kohanim have, in Kodesh Kalim, they have the chelek of, right, they get the Zro, the Chaim, and Keva, right? They get certain parts of the Kochim Kalim. So what the Gemara didn't draw the distinction between, the Gemara could have answered over here, what's the distinction between the two Braithos, whether the Kiddushin and Rabbi Yosef Glio says it's Mamo? They could say, that's the Kohanim, that's the Balaam. By Kohanim, their Chelek is, I mean, Shulchan Gavah Kazachu, and the Balaam, it's Mamo and Balaam, they're the ones who are bringing the Karban. The fact that the Gemara did not answer such means that the Gemara sees this distinction as being complete and total. Whether it's a Kohen or a Baal, when it's after Shechita, the Kohanim and the Balaim are getting a Mishulchan Kavod. When it's alive, both the Kohanim and the Balaim own their portions, and they can be Mekadesh with their portions. So Kohen could go along and say, I'll marry you with that Zroa of the, right, the animal. And even though it's still alive now, and he has to wait, you have to get the Karbon, but he can marry her because it's considered Mon Balaim. The Gemara question is that, is that really true?
When the animal has been designated as
a Kachim Kalam already, right? Once it's a Shlomim, obviously, because we're talking about Kachim Kalam, so it has to be designated as some carbon already. So that's it. So Gemara says, Mi'chayim Yavar, that's what Tosis narrows the question simply about Kohanim, when it's alive, do their matanot really belong to them? V'hatnan. We have an explicit mission that says, B'chor, when it comes to B'chor, Mokrinoto, Tam Chai. If it is a B'chor, that is Tam, meaning that it can still be brought as a carbon in the Mizbeach, then you can only sell it while it's still alive. You can't sell it, right, after it's shechted. Right, because after it's shechted, it becomes Isur Hanah. Because since it could have been brought in his back, and it dies, that's basically Shechutei Chutz, becomes, right, Kachim that either die outside, or that are shechted outside the Mikdash, and they are Asir Be'anah. So only while it's alive can you sell. Right, Ubalmum, if it gets the Mum already, right now it's a blemish, then it becomes like Mamon of the Kohanim, Chai V'Shokut, then they can sell it whether it's alive, or after Shechita, you can sell it. U'mikachim bo et ha'isha. And they can what? Be Mikadish Isha. What do you see from this? That only after it's shachut, only after it's shechted can you be mekadesh isha. Well, while it's still alive, they didn't suggest that you could be mekadesh isha. However, Rav Nachman, however, Rav Barahua, lo shanu elo b'chor b'zman hazeh. This only applies to b'chor today. I mean, when there is no mikdash, why? The came to lo hazi the hakrova idlu the kanim zechiyah b'kavayu. And because there is no hakrova, because there's no hakrova today, therefore the kanim really own the b'chorim. Because what? Even if a b'chor is a b'amum, then it always goes to the coin. A b'chor that's still alive before b'amum, all we're waiting for it to become a b'amum. I mean, there's no other alternative. You can't do anything with the b'chor except wait for the b'amum and give it to the coin. It's almost like it's designated already to go to the coin. About this match, you bait the mikdash kaya, by the time that the mikdash was around, the chazil akroba lo. That when it was chazil akroba, then when the b'chor is alive, you couldn't sell it. Why? Because the coin have no ownership in it at all. Why? Because it belongs to the Mizbeach. If it belongs to Mizbeach, then the Kohanim don't have any rights to it. The Gemara says over here, the eighth day, Rava, the Rav Nachman. So Rava asked Rav Nachman a question. Umalva malva shem, the Ravot kodshim kalim, shehim mimono, divir Rav Yosef Lili. We saw by Shvuat HaPikadon that Rav Yosef Lili believed that when it's kodshim kalim, it is his mano, mamo. Umishani. And the Gemara says, Ravina says, when Rav Yosef Lili says that it's mamo and balim, right, when is it classified as Mamun Balam? That's when we're talking about a Bechor that is in Chutzlars. What a Bechor, Bechutzlars? Why? What happens to a Bechor that's outside of Eretz Yisrael? I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Who's going to Rabbi Shimon? The Amar, Im Boz, Mimim, Yikrubu. If you have a Bechor from Chutzlars, if the Balam brings it to the Mikdash, and it's coming, it's a Tam, we'll put it on the Mizbeah. Mim Bo in, Tatchil Alo. If they came, they do. But Lechatchila, they don't have to bring it. And that's really, a Bechor in Chutzlars is really like Mamun Balam, because they really don't have to bring it up to the Mikdash, only if they want to. So they don't have to bring it up. That you classify as Mamon Balam. But what do you see from this? You see from this that the Gemara believes that Rabbi Yosef Lili is the author of these two statements. One, the statement of the Mishnah. The Mishnah that says, Mokrin oto tam chai, bal mum chai b'shachut. And on that, Rav Nachman qualifies the statement and says, that's only true b'zman hazeh. But b'zman hamikdash, then there's no Mamon Balam when it comes to, right, when it comes to the Bechor. Then we have the question, we say, wait, umal amal b'ashem, which was a pikadon, Shmuel HaPikadon, we're talking about definitely when the time to debate the Mikdash is around. Why is it when the time to debate the Mikdash is around? Because you have to bring the Korban. Shmuel HaPikadon is a demand for a Korban. And we darshan on the Pasuk, Mal Mal Bashem, that includes Koshim Palin. And Rabbi Yosef Lili there says clearly it's Mal Mal Balan. So you have a Mishnah that says Bechor, that Mal Mal Balan only applies, not the Zman HaMikdash. And then we have another break that the Mishnah that comes along and says, what? That even the Zman HaMikdash, Rabbi Yosef Lili says it's Mal Mal Balan. So how do we solve the problem? So the problem by saying that it's Ravina says it's Bechor in Chutzlaris. It's Bechor outside of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's Mamon Balam. But, right, but, Bim Ito. If you think Rabbi Yosef Halevi believes that even while it's alive, it's still mamon valid, then lishne harabbi Yosef Halevi harabamon. Let's differentiate between the two mishnayos and say one is Rabbi Yosef Halevi and one is rabbanon. Meaning that it's clearly Rabbi Yosef Halevi, which is the case by umal mal b'shem or both kachim kala and chain mamono. That's Rabbi Yosef Halevi's position. Even in this mana mikdash, Rabbi Yosef Halevi believes that it is mamon valid, whether it's the matnas kahuna, whether it's the right, the Balaam's ownership in the animal, it'll be the Momo. And the Mishnah before, Rabbi Nachman qualified and says, before Mokum Mato, Tam Chai, Bam Mum Chai, Shokba, and he says, that's only true, Bizman Azet. But Bizman Az Migdash, they weren't Mamon Balaam. That didn't belong to the Kohanim at all. We'll say that is the Rabbanan who believe that Kochim Kalam are not Mamon Balaam. And then why did Ravina answer that as we before the close arts? Should have just answered that it all has to do with Zmanazeh, and that the verse that's talking about Rabbi Yosef Halevi is Zmanazeh, and the Mishnah is talking about Zmanamikdash. You can make differentiations. According to you, the same differentiations will apply. How do you explain that in one place, Rabbi Yosef Halevi says it's Mamon Balaam, and the other place he says, what? That's only been Zmanazeh, not Zmanamikdash. And when he wanted to create another case of, right, Mamon Balaam, we said, oh, it's a Koran Kutlard. Just say like you're suggesting. It's a Kachim Kalim, is the, right? This Manazah. I can't connect it. Or it's a Kachim Kalim that are Mamon Balaam. I think you're strengthening the question, which is the Gemara says you had alternative answers. And why didn't you give that alternative answer? That's what the Gemara wants to know. If you really believe, Rabbi Yosef really thinks that it's Mamon Balaam for the Kohanim, right, prior to, even in, when it's still alive, we were supposed to suggest in the question here, then we could have split up these two mishnahs. One where he says it's Mamon Balaam, that's Rabbi Yosef Halevi's position. The other position is the Rabbanan's position. The Rabbanan's position is that it's not Mamon Balaam, that will draw the distinction between Mizmanazeh and the Mikdash. Then the Gemara says, wait, the Gemara said, well, that could have been the difference. So if it's not the difference, and we reverted to saying that it was Bekor Bekutzvaret, that suggests that both of these are Rabbi Yosef Halevi. If they're both Rabbi Yosef Halevi, it suggests that what? Only Bizmanazeh does it belong to the Kohanim. But Bizmanamikdash, right, it does not belong to the Kohanim. So if that's the case, then you can't make this claim that Mikhaim, even Rabbi Yosef Halevi agrees. Kamar says, wait a minute, that's not true. Right? Matnot Kahuna Kamar? You're talking about Matnot Kahuna are shiny. Shiny Matnot Kahuna, the Kazachu, Meshulchan Kabal Kazachu. You guys were not so careful. Because there was a difference in the two, the Mishnah and the Brisa that you quoted. Why? Listen to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Matnan Bekor. What was the Mishnah talking about? A Bekor. The Brisa that we brought afterwards, the Eitri Rabba, the Ramachman, Umala, Mal Bashem, the Robo, it's Kochim Kalim. I was talking about Kochim Kalim. Now Bekor is a subcategory of Kochim Kalim, but it is not equivalent or synonymous with Kochim Kalim. Now you can draw a distinction. What's the distinction? Who does the Bekor belong to? The Bekor belongs to the Kalim from beginning to end. Meaning that their Balaam has no ownership whatsoever in the Bekor. On Kochim Kalim, there's two stages. There's a stage where the Balaam have ownership, and there's a stage where the Kohanim gain ownership. And that's what the Gemara says. By Bekor, and we're talking about a Bekor, Bekor is Matnot Kuna. That is something that's given from a Kodesh Baruch Hu to the Kohen. So there, when we're talking about anything the Kohen gets out of this Bekor, it's from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a gift from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's Mishochan Kavo Kazoku. And therefore, the Kohanim have never had any real ownership in the Bekor. Because the reason they're getting it is Mishochan Kavo. That is not true of Balaam. Regular Israelim, when they're Makdish a Korban Shlamim, right, the reason that they are making it into a Kachim, or making it into a Kachim Kalim, is not because they didn't own it before, or they're getting it from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's because it's their property. It's their property that they are Mekadesh. So it's their property that Mekadesh, we could suggest that the Israelim have ownership in the animal. Based on this distinction, there'll be a distinction between, this is something we've explored, between Kohanim and Israelim. When it comes to Israelim, they will be considered to be Mamon Balaam when it comes to Kochim Kalim, because it's their property. They were Mekadesh, they're responsible for it, and therefore, if they're Nizak, if there's Nezak done to it, right, you'll be, according to Rabbi Yosef Halevi, where it's Mamon Balaam, you will be responsible for it, right? And that'll explain our Mishnah about Umalo Mal Bashem, the role of Kochim Kalim, Shehem Mamono. That'll explain Shuvat the Pikodon, that is Mamon Balaam, right? That is the great Rabbi Yosef Halevi. That'll explain that because, right, that is talking about the Balaam, these owners over here. Now, on the other hand, we have the cases of Bekor. Cases of Bekor, right, when you talk about a Bekor, Bekor is a different animal. Literally and figuratively, it's a different animal. Why? Because Bekor, the Kohanim never, I think, like, oh, you were suggesting a little bit, they never really had ownership in the Bekor. Right, they got, the whole thing is a gift from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. because then they really have ownership in the animal, then you can't come along and say, oh, why isn't it considered momobalan while they're alive? Why isn't it considered momobalan when they're dead? Right? It's not momobalan ever because it's a gift from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's true, right? Means mana mikdash when it's fuzzy lak rov. Hey, but it's mana zeh, right? When you say that it's mana zeh, right, where it does go directly to the lanim, meaning it goes to the lanim because it becomes momobalan. Not because it goes on the mizbeach, that they're gonna end up with it, but rather it's momobalan because it gets a blemish. And therefore, it doesn't end up in the Mizbeach. That's the whole direction over here. Then it is the Mammon of the Kohanim. That'll be the distinction between, right? That'll be the distinction between Bechor and Kodeshim Talim. Now, based on that distinction, why didn't the Gemara, why didn't Ravina answer up? And then Ravina could have answered up, how Bechor, how Kodeshim Talim. In that, why didn't Ravina, when we explained the Brayta, Rav Yossi says, Mammon Bashem Bashvat Pikadon and Kodeshim Talim, he said it has to be Bechor and Kutlarts. An easier answer would have been, that's Kodesh and Talon. We're not talking about before. So that Rashi points out over here that we don't have the Seifa of that Brisa. The Seifa of Brisa clearly makes that it's talking about a Bechor. And since the Seifa of Brisa is telling him about a Bechor, he has to figure out a way to answer it in Bechor. So he had to answer it in Bechor, say Bechor and Kutlaris. But, truthfully, had that the second half of the Brisa not been talking about Bechor, the answer could have been Kodesh and Talon.
Same word applied to Kodesh and Talon.
Exactly. You would have that thing by Kodesh and Talon, by the Balim, that it is Mamma Balim, but because it's talking about Bechor, you have to come up with this a case where you can create mamon inside of